All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. Today, I am joined by none other than Matt Chambers of the Falcoholic. We are going to be recapping the Falcons' Week 13 loss to the Minnesota Vikings on today's episode.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Matt, welcome back to the show. It's been a long time since you've been on. I think the last time we had you on was like the week after we signed Mohamed Sanu. So that was certainly, I'm sure that was an excellent episode. You had a little one last year during the season, so we couldn't really find the time to get you on. And now we're back to talk about this Falcons-Vikings game. So welcome back, my friend.
Great. Yeah, let's definitely talk about Mohamed Sanu again, because I would like to rewind the tape on that and tell everyone how right I was. But that's weird. I was thinking this was your first podcast ever, and I was gonna say congrats on your first podcast episode. I like that you're branching out from just being a casual fan to a little bit more into it. Like, it's great. I'm really super happy for you. But I guess there was another one, and we talked about Mohamed Sanu, which, I mean, that sounds like something I would do. So here we go.
All right, man. Okay. Let's start off. You gave me a lot of grief during the summer when I talked about the Vikings being good heading into the season. So how about them apples?
I was wondering why you asked me on. I haven't even gotten to make fun of your Jalen Collins opinions yet. You know, I will say Minnesota, for a team that is on their, their third quarterback and their second or third running back, like, man, they're doing really well. Like, I mean, before I was looking at it, I was like, just looking at their depth chart, like, I'm not super impressed. Like, who's Adam Thielen? I don't even know how to say that guy's name. That guy's good. It's kind of crazy to see it all popping up. Like, I do love to see Mike Zimmer. Like, I love Mike Zimmer, even though he was only with Atlanta for 16 terrible, terrible games. Like, that's a guy who I've always just always loved. Like, it could be 20 years from now, and he could be, oh, God, no, he's already kind of old. But, I mean, even if he was, like, 90 in, like, a wheelchair and they announced him as a new Atlanta Falcons head coach, I would be, like, all about that. I don't care if he falls asleep in the middle of games. That's cool. But, yeah, I would have never expected what we have now, which is Case Keenum just chucking the ball out to everybody. Like, I always expected the great defense, and we definitely saw that. We definitely saw that on Sunday, which is a little disappointing. But, you know, good for the Vikings. They look like, they play better than the Eagles did last night. So, it's, good to see.
One of the positives I saw in the game was I thought the Falcons ran the ball pretty effectively, given that the Vikings have one of the league's best run defenses. Unfortunately, it didn't necessarily translate to touchdowns, but I thought the Falcons at least were able to, quote-unquote, establish the run. Were there any sort of positives that you take from yesterday's game?
Oh, I had a whole list of negatives ready to go. I'm a little thrown back on
the... Well, I figured we could get the positives out of the way early.
Yeah, that'll be quick. I will say, running the ball went, that was pretty successful. I like to see that, completely blanking on his name now, Ben Garland. I thought he did a pretty solid job run blocking. Pass blocking is a whole other situation for him, but if we're out LaVitre for 2 to 3 weeks, like, I think he can... he cannot ruin a game for us. He's not gonna Peter Collins mess up. So, like, that's pretty cool. Other positives, man. Ricardo Allen, that dude is a player. I was actually dreading this podcast because this is probably on the last podcast, if I remember right. DW was on, and we were trying to figure out what the hell the Falcons were gonna do at free safety. And I believe you both were like, I don't really like Ricardo Allen. And I was like, I think we just got to bite the bullet. And, who is that now? I am completely blanking on names now.
Was it Charles Godfrey?
No. It's the safety term linebacker. What is his?
Kamal Ishmael.
Yeah, Ishmael. And I was like, I know he's going to – I mean, he's definitely going to struggle out in coverage, but at least he can tackle. And as it turns out, that was not the most correct opinion I've had, as Ricardo Allen has just turned into he's turned into a monster. Like, yeah, yesterday was just a hell of a game on his part. Who else? Tack McKinley's really kind of putting it together. Like, he's – I mean, I know he's like a defensive end. It's going to take him a couple years to really kind of get all those pass rush moves in. But, like, that dude is good, and I like watching him. I think he's going to become something special. After that, I think we're short on – positives after all that.
Fair enough. I think you hit them all. So let's talk a little bit about some of the negatives. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. What negatives did you see in this game? Are there any sort of concerns, lingering concerns from the recent weeks, or future concerns that you think may linger in the upcoming games?
Well, this reminds me of our discussion on Mohamed Sanu, and I don't know. He's just still not like a really good wide receiver too. Like, I feel like he'd be a great wide receiver three, and we're still watching him like demanding the football, and then dropping an easy catch, and just like when he gets the ball, like he just doesn't do anything with it. So like Julio had. He had a bad drop or two yesterday, but, like, I will allow that, because when that man catches the ball, he's going to just destroy some people, run for 30 yards, and, like, 30 yards is probably longer than Mohamed Sanu has run on any catch, minus his first game against Tampa last year. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's kind of a concern. Wide receiver depth still looks like kind of iffy. Taylor Gabriel, it's just, I might have been really wrong on Gabriel. I think I might have to give it up to Kyle Shanahan for really being able to kind of like scheme that guy open, because he has just not been able to get it done at all year. He just looks.
I was just going to say odd. It's odd for you to give Kyle Shanahan any form of credit. I'm surprised by that. That's the first on this podcast.
Gotta be a first for everything. I mean, he obviously did some things well. Not all of it. There's no. There's no good way to like think back on like 2016 and be like, he did a really great job. There's nothing. There's no soul destroying decisions he made at the very end of the season that has ruined it all for me. But he really did do. He really did get a lot of the depth guys open really well, and I think we've been seeing that a little more the last few weeks with like Levin Toilolo, like making some catches, like looking pretty decent, actually. So I think some of that's coming back around, but I don't think they know what to do with Taylor Gabriel. Really, it's kind of weird. As long as I'm just sort of talking, I feel like Sarkisian has just sort of, I don't know. I feel like he's slowly figuring out the players on his team, because it seems like for a while he was just like, oh well, Tevin Coleman, he's a running back, so let's run him up the middle, or Julio Jones, like, yeah, he should get some of the catches, but not a whole lot of them. I think he's slowly kind of putting it together. Obviously, it didn't work out against Minnesota, but I think that's, that's kind of an improvement. And I forgot what the question is. I'm just sort of talking around in circles right now.
That's fine. I was just going to let you go. You're on the roll. I asked you, do you have any issues on the offense? But I also doubled down and asked you, do you have any issues with the defensive performance?
Oh, yeah. Defense is a whole other thing. I feel like the offense, they've not... Like, I think they're going to be able to put it all together, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do it this year. So, we had, actually, over on the Falcoholic, if you go to thefalcoholic.com, where we have tons of fun, new, exciting content every single day, we kind of put together our predictions for the Minnesota game, and after the Trufant and Poole injury, I think most of the writers kind of had Atlanta as like a close loss sort of thing. But at the time, I'd said I'm just not sure that this team has really proven that they can play the way they need to play consistently. And I think we kind of saw that yesterday, where you kind of have flashes of greatness, but I don't think they've been able to quite put it all together. So it might be another off season with this coaching staff for them to, you know, really kind of get it together. So it's, you know, sort of the same way how the offense in 2015 was briefly good and then terrible the rest of the season, and then 2016 obviously turned into a record-breaking year. So, you know, I'm hopeful for another year with that. The defense, I don't know, the defense feels a little bit of the same to me, where every, it feels like every week, I don't really know exactly what defense is gonna pop up. It's like either like Tampa Bay and the pass rush is just there, or then you get to Minnesota and the run defense has just completely disappeared. I don't know. I'm starting to think everyone's concerned about Deion Jones's weight might be a little justified, because man, he has been bad. He's just getting blocked out of plays like left and right. It's kind of ridiculous to see it. I don't know. It's a little weird. Obviously the secondary has been injured. CJ Goodwin got a chance to kind of come in and show what he's got, and that was not a great showing. So, actually, Atlanta just signed, what was that, Leon McFadden earlier today, and I don't know. The guess is either maybe Trufant or Poole won't be back, or maybe CJ Goodwin is just kind of getting demoted because he just got blown up against Minnesota. So, you know, it's overall, it's still a lot of young players, and they're kind of coming into their own, but they're not. They're definitely not quite there yet.
Okay. Well, Matt, you say that you pretend like you don't listen to this podcast, but you hit two things that are definitely my brand on this podcast. You bashed Mohamed Sanu. I'm just gonna let you.
There we
are. And then you criticized Deion Jones. I did that for like 6 weeks straight on this podcast earlier in the season. So it does seem like you may be secretly listening to the show, but who knows? As for Leon McFadden, I don't think that, you know, Trufant came out of the concussion protocol today, so it does sound like he is going to play this Thursday. Poole, I guess his status is up in the air, but I don't know, you know, even if McFadden, I don't even know if he's going to play. Like, I just think he's a body at this point, just so that they can have, you know, five healthy cornerbacks on the roster as opposed to, you know, whatever they had yesterday, which was like three or whatever it was. So I just think he's a body at this point. I don't really expect him to play in the meantime.
Oh, I would hope not. But at the same time, he replaced, what was that, Terrence McGee? I totally forgot he was even on the roster. And I was like, oh, well, I guess there he goes. But yeah, I mean, you know, bottom of the roster guy, I don't really expect to. It's kind of funny because when I was like, Leon McFadden, I was like, where have I heard that? And I was like, oh, yeah, the Browns took him in like the third round. And I was like, actually, all you really need to know is like the Browns drafted him. And then you should just know there's not going to be anything good that comes after that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. I'm curious about this upcoming week against the Saints. Do you have any concern with sort of the thought process of playing a really physical team like the Vikings and then having a short week? Is that something that could lead to a little bit of a letdown for the Falcons, maybe being a little bit out of gas on Thursday? Or did you watch the game yesterday and not feel like the Falcons were out-physical in any sort of manner that causes you any issues?
Well, you know, I feel like this team gets out physicaled at the end of games kind of a lot when they're dealing with a really solid offense. Like, you know, we saw it in the Super Bowl. I definitely think we saw that yesterday, and I don't think that's going to change. Maybe it's because like Dan Quinn likes all these like lighter, faster guys, and they just can't be flying around at full speed, you know, if they're taking 80, 90 snaps every week. Like, it's a little nuts, and it's not been helpful now that Sarkisian keeps kind of running on these big periods where he can't sustain any sort of drive. So it's definitely a concern. I'm hopeful that let's see, the Saints played the 4:30 game, and now they're traveling to Atlanta. So, like, I'm hoping they're going to be kind of tired or jet-lagged or something, but I'm terrified of Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Man, that guy is insane. There's so he's popped up out of nowhere like an Adam Thielen guy to me, where I'm just like, I don't really have to worry about that. I was just making fun of the Saints for signing Adrian Peterson, because of course that's stupid. And I was like, ha, 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 the Saints are stupid, and then they trade him, and I was like, ha, ha, you're really stupid. And then this guy just pops up, and I saw his touchdown run on Sunday. It was the most insane thing I'd ever seen. Like, I have not seen a human being move like this. Like, he literally got tackled by two guys, and he just sort of stops, like, the way he's falling, and then just, like, flips back into the end zone. It was absolutely nuts. I don't know how you stop that guy, especially when Deion Jones can't get off a damn block to save his life. Like, I'm super worried about this Saints run game, especially after, like, the front seven seem to just get beaten up against Minnesota. Now you have New Orleans suddenly, like, with a good offensive line and two very legitimate running backs, and that's pretty damn concerning.
Another injury that the Falcons had, Andy LaVitre, the report is that he's going to miss this game and might miss 2 to 3 weeks with a partially torn tricep. You mentioned Ben Garland. Do you feel comfortable that Garland can sort of hold down the fort, or do you think this injury is going to have a little bit more of a lingering impact?
I'm a little worried, like, long term. Sorry, not long term. I'm a little worried with Garland's ability to kind of hold up to the pass rush. Like, I mean, I will say, like, Mike Zimmer, he loves getting that pressure right up in your face. And if the Saints are smart, who's their defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen? Like, if he's smart, they're just gonna. I think they should just blitz through the A gaps and see what see what Ben Garland can do, because I don't think he can. I just don't think that's really his forte. Atlanta should be able to run the ball, but I'm worried about the already, like, inconsistent passing game kind of continuing now that there's this change along the offensive line.
Yeah, definitely.
Plus they have so the Saints have, as far as I can tell, the Saints have one defensive tackle. They've got Sheldon Rankins and then a bunch of dudes I've never heard of.
Yeah, pretty much. The Onyemata dude, or whatever his name is, he's actually pretty decent, though.
Oh, nice. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
They've got that going on. Yeah. It seems like it's just, Cam Jordan and no one else I really have to care about. But obviously, like, if they, if they decide to blitz Atlanta, which probably would be a good idea, I think they're going to have a little bit more trouble than usual picking it up and keeping pressure off of Ryan.
Before we go any further, I want to remind you guys to check out Locked On Fantasy with Vinny Iyer, just so you guys can get prepped for your upcoming fantasy playoffs. You talked about on the Falcoholic how most of the writers had picked the Vikings to win a close one. It at least from my perspective, seeing some of the reactions to this loss on Falcons Twitter over the last 24 hours, it seems like people are sort of now trying to, like, shift the narrative on the Falcons as if, like, we learned something new about this team or something. I don't really feel that way.
What new thing would you have learned about this team?
I don't know. Like, I just feel like this was for me, my perspective is, like, yeah, the Falcons lost this game in sort of similar ways that they've lost other games. But unlike those other games, like, I think the Vikings are a good enough team to sort of force those issues, as opposed to just them, when they lose the Dolphins game or even the Panthers game, and sort of collapse in the second half of those games, and the offense really struggles in those games, it's less an issue of, oh, well, the other team that they played is really, really good, I think, you know, those weeks it was like, oh, maybe the coaching is bad, or maybe the play calling is bad, or maybe this team has got a Super Bowl hangover and too complacent, or whatever the case may be. But like this week, it's like, I think the reason why the Falcons lost this game is because Vikings are really good. And I don't know. I'm just curious, like, does this sort of loss change your perspective on this team right now and where this team is headed going forward?
All right, well, I know you're asking me a very direct question, but this reminds me of something else that is not answering your question.
Okay.
So when we put up our predictions of, you know, Atlanta, they're just a little too injured to really make any of us feel, like, too confident they're going to squeak out a win. So we had some very angry people we did not take Atlanta to win. They were calling us fake fans and all sorts of colorful language on our Facebook page. It was pretty awesome. And then after Atlanta loses, we get everyone mad that we're not critical enough of the Falcons. So I love doing stuff on the internet because it doesn't matter what the hell you do, you're always – someone's just going to be mad at you all the time.
Fair enough.
So it feels pretty good. So I don't think I had learned anything new about this team. Like, they – you know, they kept the game close. The offense just didn't get – going. Like, you know, there are a few things you'd like to call back. Like, I don't know. I didn't really like going for that last field goal at the end just because if you look at what the defense had done, like, I feel like sometimes Dan Quinn gets a little too – he believes in his team a little too much. And I want to be like, hey, Dan Quinn, let me just remind you of what's been happening the last 15, 20 minutes in this game. And, you know, maybe you'll go for it because you're probably not going to get this football back. So, I mean, you know, good for him. He was burning up his timeouts, like, super early and, you know, super confident that someone on the defense would step up, which is really kind of foolish. But, you know, it seems like the same team. Like, they just, you know, they just got beat by a better team right now. That's not, you know, that shouldn't be a big knock. Like, Minnesota's 10-2, and we did not get, you know, we didn't get blown out by, like, 30 points by Minnesota. Like, if we face the beginning of the playoffs, I'm not going to be like, well, there's always next year, guys. So, you know, nothing new with the Falcons, I guess.
Yeah, same old Falcons. Yeah, we're complaining about them, though.
Same old Falcons, losing when they need to win. Like clockwork.
Yeah, pretty much. Matt, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners since this is a brand new podcast?
Yeah, I love this brand new podcast. You know, I'm sure you're going to get, you know, a couple people like randomly, accidentally listening to it. Like, that's great. You're going to slowly be able to build your brand. And, you know, in a couple of years, like, you won't have to do podcasts. It'll be great. I don't think we've got anything. We're just pushing out fun stuff over at the Falcoholic. And as always, I guess you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicMatt. And like our page on Facebook. And please swear at us when we do something you don't approve of, because that's usually pretty funny.
There you go. Well, Matt, I appreciate you coming on. I hope it is not as long a layoff before we have you back on. Maybe if the Falcons make the playoffs, that'll be certainly entertaining.
Yeah, that'd be funny if they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Wait, so what are your thoughts on that? As long as I've got you here, so it seems like there's a possibility. I think if they go like 3-1 down the stretch, that they could snag a wild card. I think there's a couple of like assumptions there. So I don't know how likely it is, but they do play Tampa again. And I'm just looking at, and if they split with the Saints, which hopefully they split with the Saints, and then beat Carolina at home, which, I mean, that's a entirely possible scenario. They, you know, they could sneak into the playoffs. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not worried about the playoffs. Like, I think they'll make the playoffs. Like, I'm not worried about it at all. I know there's a mathematical chance, and I know this is weird because normally any other situation with the Falcons and they'd be on the bubble right now, I'd be like, oh, it's nothing is guaranteed. But, like, I just think the, you know, assuming that their performances over the last 3 weeks wasn't a fluke, And I don't think this past Sunday's game means that it is. It seems some people seem to be of the opinion. I think they'll be fine. They'll go 3-1 as long as Seattle doesn't run the table or go 3-1 themselves. I think then the Falcons will be fine and get the sixth seed pretty much, or maybe even better depending on how Carolina finishes. I think New Orleans is a very beatable team. I think, assuming the Falcons actually play, you know, put together a decent game plan, that's a very beatable team. Just as long as the offense can score points, because I don't really feel confident the defense is going to stop the Saints' offense. But if the offense comes to play, and I think New Orleans' defense, while it's improved, isn't necessarily the type of defense that's going to really should, or at least should, not give this offense too much problems. And I think we saw against Carolina that, like, we can beat that team. We just got to play better. And, then you have Tampa Bay on top of that. So, yeah, you know, there's probably a decent chance that they split with the Saints. Probably losing that road game in New Orleans is probably more likely than losing this Thursday night game now that Trufant's back. So I'm pretty good. Like, I'm not worried about it. Like, even if they lose on Thursday, I'd be like, well, you know, they'll figure it out. Like, you know, they'll beat the Saints on the road then, I guess they'll have to do. So, you know, until they struggle against the Buccaneers, I'm not going to be too worried about it.
Oh my God! It would feel like a very Falcons thing for them to struggle against Tampa well enough that Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith keep their jobs for another year.
Anything else Falcons that they could do? No, I guess not lose. You know, there's no sense of like losing the final game in the Georgia Dome or anything like that.
I feel like the most Falcons thing. The way I've been able to figure it out is they always give you this hope. There's always this little...
Yeah.
Like, you might start off at kickoff, and you might be like, there's no way we're winning this game. Like, we'll just get this over with. And then they'll play really, really well. And then even this season, like, I'm still like, it's never over until it's over. But then you start getting the second, third quarter, and you're like, oh, man, they're gonna win this game. Oh, man. And then you get super excited, and you're like, they're going to do it. I'm so pumped about this team. And then they lose it in the most crippling fashion possible. Something a little bit more like that, where they give you a little bit of hope. And then, you know, and then second half against Miami or, you know, whatever game you want to pick happens. And you're back to square one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, getting up 31-7 against the Saints this Thursday and then blowing it is probably the most Falcons thing they can do. So, we'll see what happens.
31-7? I think it would have to be – I think it needs to be 25 or more points.
Okay.
Like, it just has to progress. Like, if this is like – you know, having like a sequel, like the monsters are always bigger and stuff and the villains are like crazier. Like, you know, they have to blow just even bigger leads like back-to-back.
When you were about to say 25 point lead, I was like, oh no, he's gonna do it.
You can edit that out. That's fine.
Oh man. Okay. Well, Matt, I enjoyed chatting with you tonight. So, we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Good luck. Good luck with your little podcast and stuff. It's okay. Super awesome, dude.
All right, man. You have a good one, man.
You too.
All right, guys. That was the incomparable Matt Chambers over at the Falcoholic. Okay. So, you know, there's your Vikings recap. As usual on this podcast, we do give away a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. You guys know what to do. You go to this podcast on Locked On Falcons on iTunes to give us a 5-star review. You leave your Twitter handle in the review. And at the end of each week, you will enter into a random drawing, which someone will win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. That is a $40 value. With that, you get player rankings, player grades, position rankings, player grades, fantasy projections, tools and charts, draft coverage, and much, much more. And if you do not happen to win that drawing, then by all means, you can still get the great Pro Football Focus content on the Locked On Podcast Network by checking out Mike Renner on Locked On NFL every Wednesday. You can also check out Jeff Radcliffe every Thursday on Locked On Fantasy Football. So if you want to get in in touch with me and give your thoughts on this podcast, this brand new shindig that I'm doing right now with this podcast, and or, you know, you want to share your thoughts on what's going on with the team or rant about the team or positive or negative or whatever you want to do, I am more than open and more than willing to hear your feedback. The best way of getting that feedback at me may be Twitter for you, and my Twitter handle is @FalcFans. If it is podcast related, just let me know it in the tweet. Otherwise, you can just send it over to the show's Twitter handle, Locked On Falcons, which is the easiest way to indicate a podcast related issue, topic, suggestion, or question. If you don't like Twitter, you're not on Twitter, or you just hate character limits, by all means, you can email LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. That's mail.com. Email has no character limits. I found out, I did look this up after yesterday's show. Facebook has like a 60,000 character limit. So you can practically post a novel on Facebook, really. But yeah, so, you know, I hope, you know, if you're sending me 60,000 words and you just can't listen to this podcast anymore, we're done from this point on. But you can send me anything. You can send me 59,000 and that'll be fine. Anything else on Facebook, the Facebook page is Locked On Falcons. Of course, give us a like while you're there. You can also find the show and leave a comment on FalcFans.com or LockedOnFalcons.com. Those were the two sites where the show was posted daily. As I said, I missed the boat this past weekend with posting the leftover mailbag from last week's questions. There was a lot of questions and it just completely slipped my mind. I was a lot busier on Saturday than I was planning on being, or busier on Friday when I was planning on doing it, and then just completely slipped my mind on Saturday. So this week will be a double dip of leftover mailbag questions. Whatever I do not get to on tomorrow's episode with the Q&A, do the leftovers on LockedOnFalcons.com. And if you guys don't send in, you know, a ton of questions tomorrow, I don't know why I say that, like I'm hinting, please don't send as many questions as you want. I love answering guys' questions. So I was just going to say, like, maybe if for whatever reason people just don't send in their questions this week, I can answer last week's questions, but it doesn't matter. I'll answer those questions regardless. So don't worry about that. Yeah, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow with the Q&A and the All-22 review. So, again, all those addresses, all those social media accounts, send in your questions if you have any dealing with the film. What do you think I see on the film? We'll be back tomorrow with our Q&A and All-22 review. If you have Saints questions, I haven't seen the film of the Saints, but I did watch the Carolina Saints game. I might, if I have time, watch their whoever they played the previous week. So I could answer a couple of Saints questions, possibly, not anything in depth because, you know, I'm not an expert. But Thursday morning, we will have a Saints preview up for that game. So you guys can definitely check that out and get ready for Thursday night football on your morning commutes or your afternoon commutes or whenever you listen to the podcast. So I'm rambling now at this point, so I'll stop talking. And you guys have a good day. Hope you enjoy.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Let me put my phone on silent. I only seem to get phone calls when I'm recording podcasts.
Well, to be fair, it seems like you do record a whole lot of podcasts.
It's fair enough. That is true. All right. Let me do the intro, and then we'll get started.